and Jess. Mornings on Mix 106.5.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to your Monday show, everybody.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
It was a holiday weekend. It was a spring break weekend for a lot of people. But how was the weekend, Jess?
What did we do? We had like a nice, fun, relaxing weekend. We went out and about, like enjoyed the weather.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So like we went out for drinks, had a cute little walk and everything like that. Oh man, I'm so mad because we were watching WrestleMania this weekend and we couldn't watch John Cena in real time last night because he probably wasn't on until like 11. So Garage Boy and I have to watch the replay when we get home from work today.
It's the curse of being up early.
But yeah.
Probably a lot of people right now if you're watching.
That was his last WrestleMania. Ever.
He's older than me, I'm sure. He's got to be, what, close to 50?
But everyone knows, though. Everyone knows that, like, this is his kind of, like, farewell tour.
Yeah.
And he, I think, is doing SmackDown in Australia in October. But yesterday was his last WrestleMania.
The man's got to be tired. Let the man go. Like, let him move on to other things.
That's an iconic thing, dude.
Yeah, for sure. Easter is a weird day when you don't really celebrate Easter and you don't have kids that do Easter, you know? I wasn't quite sure what to do with the day yesterday. Every Easter that rolls around, when you don't have family that lives here and you don't really make a big hoopla out of Easter, you wake up and you're like, well, everything's closed. And like there's nothing really to do. So there was one yoga class that I went to. And then like the rest of the day, I was kind of like, well, what do you do then? You know what I mean? Like, where do you go? I found there was a sushi restaurant that was open. So I met up with another friend that also doesn't really have family here. And I was like, okay, well, then let's go to sushi. And that's how we're going to celebrate our Easter, you know?
That's nice.
Did you guys do anything Eastery?
We always stream church on Sundays in the morning. So that's kind of like what we did for Easter.
Yeah.
We also, we kind of did our own thing of like celebrating Good Friday and throughout the weekend and everything like that.
Right.
But any holiday that we do, we just use it as an excuse to make something really, really yummy at home. So,
smart.
Yeah. So we had everything and we had like a really nice dinner and everything like that.
Now. These are the top three trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top three. With Jess. Number three.
If you need to clear out the dusty file boxes or your junk drawers, the Better Business Bureau of Greater Maryland is giving you the perfect opportunity to do some spring cleaning. This coming Saturday, April 26th, they are hosting the 18th annual Shred Day, and it's totally free. There's going to be two locations you can utilize, either the IKEA in White Marsh, or you can head over to the Timonium Fairgrounds from 8 to 11 a.m. You can drive up with bags, boxes, or just entire trunks of paper. You don't have to get out of your car, and volunteers can unload it for you to get it shredded by Iron Mountain, which is also a secure shredding site as well.
Number two.
Pope Francis has died at the age of 88. His last public appearance was actually for the Easter Sunday blessing yesterday, and the Vatican has announced that he died earlier this morning. The death of Francis, who became the first Latin American pontiff in 2013, was one of the oldest popes in the church's history. Came weeks after was discharged from a Rome hospital, actually having battled a life-threatening case of pneumonia in both of his lungs. His death will open a debate about the future direction of the Catholic Church, with cardinals from across the globe expected to gather in Rome in the coming days to mourn and also to elect his successor.
Man, we were just talking about this. I mean, he obviously was at Mass yesterday for Easter, and you could tell he wasn't in good shape, and you know, rumors were, you know, his health has really not been well.
I just didn't know the severity.
I mean,
of what he was going through.
I just can't imagine being like a day away from passing away and still showing up, and then, you know, just goes to show his dedication to what he did.
Right.
And I know for a lot of people, especially for the LGBTQ community, I mean, he meant so much in that role in the Catholic Church. So I know for anyone that's Catholic, that it's going to be a big day of mourning, I know, for a lot of people.
Right.
So,
Number one.
Michelle Obama continues to shut down divorce rumors. The former first lady was spotted in L.A. this weekend rocking her wedding ring while visiting the Academy's HQ with her brother and podcast co-host Craig Robinson. Of course, this comes after weeks of rumors about a possible split from Barack Obama, but Michelle made her stance very clear during this appearance. She recently addressed those rumors on Sophia Bush's podcast, saying the only thing going on is her choosing to live her life on her own terms. And she explained how she's not pulling away from politics because of problems. She is actually stepping into a new chapter, focusing on personal growth while still making a difference in her own way.
Yeah, I mean, I think they either really are going to get divorced or they really aren't going to get divorced. When any of these things, and this is the problem, is like, whenever somebody makes really big statements like these, it goes one of two ways. You know what I mean? Like, you get really defensive because they really do have a very strong marriage, or there's something really going on they're trying to like cover up, you know? And I'm not sure which way it's going to go with them, you know?
Personally, I think they're fine.
Maybe.
And I genuinely feel like everything is fine and she's just living her life and nobody knows how to take that, which is actually a little and kind of ridiculous to me.
The only problem with this story is we've been doing this too long to say, like, when there's smoke, there's fire. And there's been so many weird rumors with this story. There's been too many weird rumors. There's been too many that I can just ignore it completely. Like, I hope she's right. I hope she's right. I love them as a couple. I'd be devastated.
Yeah.
I'd be like Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith devastated. I mean, that story rocked me. It still rocks me. How, like, when that whole thing fell apart, like, I still was like, what? So, like, I would be, like, rocked if these two fell. I'm not rooting for this to be true, that like anything's gonna weird happen to them as a couple.
Yeah.
But I just can't ignore that maybe, you know, because they're, you know, when people have to come out and explain how happy they are, it makes me worry.
I don't know.
You don't owe anybody an explanation. If you're happy, just go be happy. You don't have to explain it to me. You know?
I think they're fine. I think the media is being the media right now. This is Jess, and that's your top three on Mix 106.5, brought to you by Goal Vision. Good morning and happy Monday.
This woman in Pennsylvania just turned $12 into $1 million. And if this is not cray cray, like, I don't know what is. Like, this luck alone. Like, we don't get this down in Maryland. Like, this wouldn't happen to any of us, unfortunately. Y'all, welcome to PA So Cray Cray. And this is going to be a good one, luckily, today. If you've never been here for PA So Cray Cray, Jess, what is this?
It's our segment dedicated to our neighbors in PA that we love so much. There's no beef between us and PA. It's just that a lot of just random, bizarre, odd things take place.
So I don't know why. And I don't know if anyone ever brought this to your attention before we got here. Like, did anyone ever mention this? Or were we the first ones to like bring this to light? Like, the news stories in Pennsylvania are just way weirder than Maryland. They're way weirder than DC. They're way weirder than Virginia. They're way weirder than anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic region. For some reason, when it comes to Pennsylvania news, they're just way weirder than down here. And so we just brought that to light maybe a couple of years ago. And then every week we just noticed that, like, the headlines just, like, no matter, I mean, a week doesn't go by that we don't go looking for these. As we just go through the news, we're like, why are they like the weirdest house on the block? I don't understand why. And we'll prove it to you again right now. Y'all, and this is a good one, but, like, again, this doesn't happen here. I don't know why. This woman named Heidi, she lives up in Montgomery County, and up in PA, and she just goes to an antique shop. She's up antique shopping, and she sees this charcoal drawing for $12, and she loves it. She's like, I just like it. It's like a nude woman drawing,
painting? like hand
charcoal
drawn.
Drawing.
Okay,
and
she
just liked it. She just liked it. She just saw the, just liked it. She picked it up. She purchased
it. She's thrifting.
It.
She's like cute. Yeah.
And she, one of her friends happened to be somebody that like deals with like high quality art, and she was like
an art dealer.
She was like, wait a minute, like, that style of art looks really familiar to me. Let me check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, they check it out, and this is a Renoir piece of art. And like, if that artist doesn't sound familiar to you, literally go Google that. You learned about that artist, I'm sure, somewhere in school. It's like this very famous artist. That piece of art she paid $12 for is worth probably $1 million.
No. Did she sell it?
So they took it and they actually are right now, when this story was published, having it appraised right now, they think it's worth $1 million. Y'all, this woman literally going through an antique store up in PA, literally found a sketch by this super famous artist, Renoir. Literally found a sketch for $12. Somebody just discarded it.
Yeah.
It's probably passed down from generation to generation. Somehow, somebody just, well, this means nothing to me. Somebody PA's like, well, whatever, just give it
to
this antique
wild
store. And someone just saw it, said, I don't know, $12. Put $12 on it.
Yeah.
Good for her. And said it could be maybe even up to $1 million at this point. So she's not sure if she's going to like turn it into a museum or possibly even sell it. I'm like, girl, sell that.
Yeah.
Sell that. Make that money. Don't even turn that into a museum, because that's luck.
Yeah, might as well sell that.
For $12, sure, that's a hell of an investment. Y'all, we don't get news stories like that down here. It only happens in PA, and that's why we call this PA so cray cray. Just stuff's just weirder. It's just weirder there.
We need to discuss a debate that's currently going on right now online that had me really in my feelings this weekend. The media company Complex posted an AI image of a Mount Rushmore of leading Disney Channel ladies. And this is who they included in this AI image, okay? Raven Simone for That's So Raven.
Sure.
Absolutely. Miley Cyrus for Hannah Montana. Duh.
Sure.
Selena Gomez, Wizards of Waverly Place. Absolutely.
Makes sense.
And Zendaya for Shake It Up. Now, hear me when I say all of these women are absolutely deserving of all of their flowers. However, fans like myself have been asking the question, where the heck is Hillary flipping Duff? Hello, Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be clear.
That's rough, man.
Lizzie McGuire walked so Hannah Montana and Alex Russo could run. Hillary Duff is the blueprint for the machine that we know as Disney Channel today.
Right.
I'm talking original Disney Channel movies, the merch, the lunch boxes, the music, everything.
Sure.
Now, I am not discrediting Zendaya's career that she has. She is an absolute powerhouse.
Right.
Emmy winner, fashion icon, global movie star. But this is my argument. If we're going to talk about a Mount Rushmore, I do not believe that Zendaya changed the game on the same level as Hillary Duff and Raven Simone and Selena Gomez and Miley Cyrus during her time at Disney. Disney was more so a launching pad for the massive career that she has now, whereas Raven, Miley, and Selena and Hillary were defining eras for Disney that we know today.
Can I tell you, I didn't even know that Zendaya was on the Disney Channel.
What?
I didn't even know she was. Now, keep in mind, I'm a few years older.
Yeah.
So I didn't
That's
even,
where she started, yeah.
I didn't even really grow up in this generation of, I mean,
Disney.
I barely knew That's So Raven. Like, I didn't watch, like, Hannah Montana. I was too old for that. So, like, I'm kind of out of this scene anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even know that Zendaya was even on.
That's so, where, like, she got her start.
I was shocked to even see her on this picture, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, it's way more Hillary Duff. Like, way, like, Zendaya even looks weird being in this Mount Rushmore. It doesn't even seem right to me for her to be on here. I don't even associate her with Disney Channel at all.
I think they chose her because of how massive her career is now. And like, and she is. She's a massive star.
Now,
like,
yeah,
out of everything that she has done with her career and all, everything that
her,
she's involved in. But as far as like the Mount Rushmore of Disney, I do not
Charlotte,
think.
Do you agree? You're also this generation. When you think of Disney Channel, do you think of Zendaya at all?
No, I really think of her more in terms of like HBO.
Yeah. Like, to me, that's like when
Spider-Man.
She got famous to me. I don't think of her.
Fashion.
Yeah.
Right.
And to your point also, like, growing up, I had the Hilary Duff comforter.
Everything.
I had the Lizzie McGuire branded door beads, nightgown, t-shirts.
Yes.
Like, it was a cultural moment.
Yeah.
Okay, can I give the show some homework? Can we come back with our Baltimore, Mount Rushmore top four people
that from
from here.
Okay.
That we would put on our Mount Rushmore here. And like, think about that too. You can make your own list, and that tomorrow we'll come back. And like, if we could only pick four people that we would pick on our Mount Rushmore, who would it be? And that would be really super hard because you only get four people.
I know.
What's so the criteria? Like real people? Like not mascots?
No. It could be mascots.
Okay.
It can
so
be
it could be like
whoever
logos,
you want. Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Let's
animals,
mix it up.
Yep. Celebrities.
Anything.
Okay.
Whoever you think of that you would put on your Mount Rushmore for Baltimore, let's do it tomorrow on Mix, okay?
Kramer and Jess. $1,000 Minute. Mix 106.5.
All right, let's go. $1,000 in free gas. And this is going to be a good week to play because a lot of people are on spring break still. You had a good chance to get in. Play these questions in your car, see how you do. It's only seven questions. Could win you $1,000 in free dash in gas. Caller 10's playing today. Who's this? Hi.
This is Josh.
Josh, what up, my guy?
Hey, Josh.
What's going on, guys? Good talking to you.
Hey, it's good talking to you as well. Are we ready to go for $1,000 in free gas?
We are. Let's go.
Let's go, Josh. Let's go, my guy. You know how to play this game. We're explaining this to everybody else. We got five chances this week to win $1,000 in free gas. We've had two winners already this month. Josh might be number three. Jessica, let's explain the rules, then we're going to play.
If you can answer seven trivia questions in 60 seconds, you win $1,000 in free dash in gas. But if you get one wrong, mispronounce one, or take longer than 60 seconds, you are out. Now, remember, you can pass on the ones you don't know. You just got to say pass. And then we will go back to them only if there is time at the end. Josh, you ready?
All ready.
Your chance at $1,000 in Dash and Gas starts now.
Question number one. What letter is the fifth in the word giraffe? Or you can pass.
F.
Correct. Question number two. Who played Bill Harding, the former storm chaser in the movie Twister?
Pass.
Question number three. In which country is the Eiffel Tower located?
France.
Correct. Question number four. How many weeks are in a decade?
Pass.
Question number five. The quote, you got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky is from what? You could ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky is from what?
Oh, pass.
Question number six. What is the game where you remove ailments from Sam the patient without making his nose light up?
Operation.
Correct. Question number seven. What is Bo Jackson famous for?
Pass.
Question number two. Who?
60 seconds.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, 60 seconds. Man, it's okay. It's all right. It's Monday. And this actually, these questions were pretty tricky, but let's keep on going and see if we can answer the rest of these.
Yes. Oh, that's my bad. Question number four. How many weeks are in a decade?
521.
It's 520.
We would have taken 520, 521. Question number five, the quote, you've got to ask yourself one question, do I feel lucky, is from what?
Dirty Harry.
Yep. The and the last one, number seven, what is Bo Jackson famous for?
Baseball.
Yeah, yep. Baseball. Nice job, Josh.
Josh, it's all right, man. It's Monday. It's all good, man. We had to just crack the seal. You know what I mean? My guy cracked the seal.
Hey.
Yeah.
It was better than last time. At least this time I knew the answers, just ran out of time.
Yeah.
Wait, Josh, what happened last time? Were you the one that called and got off on the first one?
Oh, it was like the second one. It was what is a math question, and it was 117. I said 97.
That's right. Yeah. It's, you know what? That's the past.
Josh,
we don't like to harp on the past.
It's improvement, my guy. It's improvement.
And you're getting better every time.
He's getting smarter. He's getting better, and that's what we like. That's what we like.
Exactly.
All right, yep. Josh, you're a good man. Come back tomorrow. Seven more questions. We're going to try this all over again, okay?
Oh, you know we will.
Have a good day, Josh, and make sure to head to Dash In and try their Spike Burger, griddle-pressed beef patty, crispy bacon, grilled onions, mushrooms, provolone cheese, signature sauce, honey, and a fresh cracked egg on brioche bun, only at Dash In.
Wait. Is it true that no woman literally wants to be approached when she goes here?
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Jessica Dutra.
This is Judge Jess.
I'm worried that she's giving her brother some bad advice.
Interesting.
And that's...
That's what you think?
It's
the woman saying what not to do to the woman, but you think the woman is wrong?
I just think it's too generic of advice. It's too generic. We can't just blanket statement advice like this.
Mansplaining is so funny.
No, don't mansplain me right now.
I need to hear the call because I'm already on guard right now.
Welcome to Judge Jess. Don't turn this into mansplaining. If you've never been here for this before, this is what we say. We say, listen, sometimes you're having a disagreement with somebody. You guys can't see eye to eye on something. So why don't you turn to us instead? Call our voicemail, 855-Kramer-Jess, 855-Kramer-Jess. Tell us the disagreement, and then Jess, who is very opinionated, as you can already tell, will tell you who's right and who's wrong in the situation. All right, so listen to this.
Hi, I am Becca from Baltimore. I have a question for Judge Jess. My brother recently got divorced and he doesn't want to use dating apps, but he does want to meet women in person. And he's been approaching women at his gym. And I keep telling him that no woman wants to be approached at the gym, but he swears that this is going to work. And I keep telling him that it's creepy and that no woman wants to be approached at the gym. They're there for themselves. And he's telling me, you don't know because you're married, but it shouldn't matter because I am also a woman. And I know he swears that people don't know how to approach other people in person anymore, which may be true, but I'm trying to get it through his thick skull that this is not the in-person place to do this. So if you could just let us know which one of us is right, which one of us is wrong. Thank you so much.
It's giving mansplaining to me.
It's just a very, like, no woman wants to be, like.
It's tough. Like, it's tough. Like, it's very like, tough.
That's a really bold statement to make that no woman wants to be talked to at the gym. And I'm not saying that, I'm sure there's some women that don't want to be talked to at the gym. But to say that no woman wants to be talked to at the gym would be a very, very large overstatement, I'm sure. I mean, there's got to be some woman that wants to be talked to at the gym, right?
I understand what Becca is saying because I think what she's trying to do is spare her brother from uncomfortable situations because more often than not, it's going to be uncomfortable than successful because the gym is such a tricky place that, yeah, you're going to participate in me time. And the last thing you want to do, like in the middle of a rep or when you're on the treadmill, is like have to take out your AirPod and be like, wait, what was that? And then get hit on. Just speaking from experience, it's, you know, it's actually a safety hazard. I was running and homeboy was waving at me like I thought something was wrong. And he actually just wanted to talk to me. Yeah. And I was so irritated by that. And I feel like that happens a lot. Like, I don't want to have to worry about, like, when I'm looking in the mirror, like, I'm not looking to make eye contact with someone. I'm counting my reps. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that the gym is just an uncomfortable place. I think there are specific moments, like, after the class is done and you're walking out, but it's just so difficult to pinpoint that I think Becca's actually looking out for her brother.
That's fine.
Where she's like, honestly, if you could just do it anywhere else but the gym, I think that she's trying to help him out.
But it's not wrong. It's not wrong to say that no woman wants to be approached at the gym. I think would be an absolutely illogical statement.
I feel like we don't want to. I feel like we really don't want to.
No woman, because literally what was said was that no woman wants to be approached at the gym.
I just feel like
I would say 50% of women probably want to be approached at the gym.
I'd say no. I feel like that's just there's so many other places. You know what I mean?
What percentage of women do you think want to be approached? I would say 50%.
What percentage want to be approached at the gym?
Yeah.
Maybe 10. Wow. Maybe 10. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, you can, I mean, it's your courtroom. I mean, I think that's crazy, but. So no.
Pick
so,
a different place. There's some, you know,
so
there's like outside.
So you say talk to no women at gyms
there's
then?
There's grocery stores.
Talk to no women at gyms.
There's banks.
No women. Don't have a conversation with a woman at a gym. If you're a man, have no conversation with women. Don't even talk to them is what you're saying.
There's so many other places that you could do that at.
That's awful.
Okay.
Listen, even the text line from men, we were getting men that want to get appeals on the Judge Jess decision. And yeah. I'd like to go back to where we were in this conversation. Okay?
Please do.
Sarah in Annapolis, morning.
Hi, good morning.
50-50. It's literally 50-50, easily.
No, it's not.
Please explain to this man. Explain to this man how wrong he is, please.
The gym, specifically, is such an intimate place. You're there for yourself. Mm-hmm. You are there to better yourself, and you're, you know, working out sweaty and gross. I would say max, maybe 20% of women wouldn't mind. But here's the thing. Those women who wouldn't mind are going to approach you and, you know, try to strike up a conversation organically. And if it goes further, then it goes further. But men in your space and all the people who are asking for appeals, they're not women. They don't know.
Okay, hang on. Even if you said 20%, that's 1 in 5 women. Your odds are still pretty good.
Like,
you feel uncomfortable if you're not one of those women, and then you feel uncomfortable going to the gym if you see that person.
So you feel like men should never see that. You're really sending mixed signals here.
No, but here's the thing, though. Becca is looking out for her brother, though. She's not saying do not approach women in person. That's not what she's saying. She's literally saying do not approach women at the gym, because here's the thing. Your odds of coming across as a nice dude are automatically lessened, and it's going to go into the creeper category if you approach me at the gym.
So do you agree then, Sarah, do you agree that no man should ever approach a woman at a gym ever?
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. Approaching and striking up a conversation is a little bit different.
Oh my gosh. So what's the rule then? You guys got to get clear on the rule.
Just pick
here.
A different place. It's not that serious. Like, wait till she's outside. Yeah. Like, what? It's literally
so stand
not that serious.
The gym and wait
There's
for her?
A whole other planet that you can speak to someone. It should
advice.
Not be that
this
big of a deal for someone to tell you not at the gym.
I feel like there's only a few wrong things you can say on Easter. And yesterday, I absolutely said it. And that thing is Happy Easter. I feel like you just can't be throwing that out there.
What do you mean?
And maybe that, like, we need some kind of thing, almost like a happy holidays like we have for, like, Christmas and Hanukkah and for anything else you might celebrate in December. Because there's not one for like the April season, you know what I mean? Because you don't really know what people celebrate.
Wait, I'm kind of confused. Okay, what's wrong with saying Happy Easter?
Yesterday, I walked into yoga, and I don't celebrate Easter either. Like, I grew up Christian, but I don't really celebrate Easter. But I feel like it's kind of the thing that you say on the Sunday, the third Sunday, or whenever Easter falls. It's kind of like that awkward small talk. I'm an awkward person in public, and when I don't know what to say to people, I just kind of go to whatever the popular thing of the day is. So I walked into yoga yesterday, and I was at the front desk waiting to check in, and this woman was there, and I held the door for her. She goes, "Thanks a lot." And I go, "Happy Easter." And she goes, "Thanks, but I'm Jewish." And I was like, damn it. And then I felt so awkward, because I was like, oh, I feel like now I have to, like, apologize or something, because obviously that's not your religion. And I say, oh, well, happy Passover. And then she goes, oh, thanks, but we don't really celebrate either. And I was like, damn it. Like, I don't know what to say to you. And then I'm just, like, stumbling on my words. I'm sorry. Like, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Like, I should never have even said literally anything. Anything. I guess we shouldn't even, like, small talk Happy Easter to one another. Like,
I don't think so. I think that because her tone, it's from what you're sharing, it still sounded like kind. She was just like letting you know what I mean? And I feel like there's nothing wrong with giving you were just giving the pleasantry,
yes.
You know? And I think also she was taking that moment, you know, you said Happy Easter, and someone could receive that, or they could say, thank you, but I don't celebrate. And you can just say, like, oh, I totally apologize. Have a nice Sunday. You know what I mean? I think that's where you go to. I don't think that it's a rude thing to offer the pleasantry. And I also think it's totally fine to be corrected, and it doesn't have to be a big deal.
Should we just not even offer the pleasantry, though? Should we just, because I was thinking, like, should we just not offer? Because you know that, like, and a few years ago, I started to get really sensitive about the whole Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays thing. Because, again, like, if I was Jewish and somebody said Merry Christmas to me, I mean, I wouldn't be offended, but I would just kind of feel like, you know, that doesn't mean anything to me. Like, why say it to me? So then I started thinking, like, should we just start saying, like, Happy Spring? Yo, it's like, what's up? Happy Spring, everybody. Like, yo, what's up?
I think what I'm going to try to apply it to is you being a vegan. So like when you're walking around, you don't have, you know, something on your shirt where you're like, I am a vegan, you know? And if someone, you know, obviously we know now, but this before people like knew like what you like to eat and like what you're allergic to and all those kinds of things, right? If we had like a group kind of activity at work, they may offer you a sandwich that has meat in it.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea and they're just trying to be polite. And all you do is like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm vegan. I won't have any. You know, you're not like, how dare you put this sandwich in my face? Like, they're just trying to feed you.
Throw a ham sandwich across the room.
And your response is like never crazy. You're just like, oh, no, I'm vegan. I'm good. And they're like, oh, I see you. Like, the salad bowl's over there. You're like, all right, cool. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just feel like we don't have to take it there. And if we take it there, why are we taking it there? You know, we can all just like just, live. You know what I mean?
I just hope so. Listen, for our Jewish friends, man, I just never want to come across as like, because I can only imagine on a day when you see Easter bunnies everywhere, and then you got the guy at the yoga studio be like, yo, what's up? Happy Easter, everybody. It's just, yeah, I guess if we're going to relate that to a ham sandwich, then
like,
maybe,
it's okay.
Maybe it's the same
you
thing.
Know what
then.
I mean?
Okay, all right, I feel better. Would you ever try to sell your kids drugs? To find out if they would buy them.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. All right, y'all. Welcome back. Some of y'all weren't here for this one last week. Y'all really missed a doozy of a week last week, man. This was a wild show last week. It is time for a Talk Me Out of It update, and I am so thankful she called us back because this would have been really disappointing if we didn't get the update. If you have no clue what we're talking about, then you really missed out on last week's Talk Me Out of It. By the way, if you don't know what's going on, we're checking in with people from last week's Talk Me Out of It where they call us back with these crazy ideas they had from the week before. What happened, Jess?
Anonymous was considering fake selling her son weed to find out if he would buy it in the first place. So he's a junior in high school and he plays lacrosse pretty seriously. And so she just wanted to make sure that he would say no and not jeopardize everything that he's worked for so he doesn't accidentally make the same mistake in college and have everything just basically ruined. So she and her coworker drove down to Ocean City where her son is with about 10 of his friends and wanted to see if he would have bought weed from her coworker that was posing as a fake drug dealer.
It was extreme.
Yeah,
it was
and very extreme. Elaborate.
But did it work? Did she even do it? And we, by the way, we never find out till you do. We always like to be surprised with you. Let me get her on, the voice disguiser. Hi, Anonymous. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Did you end up trying to sell your son marijuana or have your friend do it or your coworker?
I did, yes.
You did?
You drove down there. You drove down there over the weekend?
The whole thing. Okay, so well, tell us the story.
Okay, so it was Saturday, and I totally lied to my husband because I knew he probably wasn't going to agree with me. So my coworker and I, we went down to the beach. I kind of, like, stayed far away so I wouldn't be seen.
Yeah.
And he went up to them, right? Like, all 10
boys. So you already yeah. knew where they were staying, obviously. And so you already kind of knew where they were going to be and everything.
Oh, yeah, I'm a helicopter mom. Oh. I got all the details. Okay. And I got the details.
But wait, your husband had no idea that you literally did this on Saturday?
You can't tell him.
No.
Okay.
No, of course not. So my coworker, who looks like a total pothead, you know, went up to tell them.
Okay. Yeah.
And they all said no, and I, like, literally, I just cried inside.
Wait, so not just your son, so he approached all of the boys that were on the trip and all of them were like, nah, we're good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
It was insane. I was so proud of them all.
That's so good.
Wait a second. So how do you feel that you did this elaborate thing just to see that, like, none of the boys participated in what you thought was about to be, like, this potential tragic situation?
I know. I feel crazy, but I also feel relieved that, like, I did do a good job and, you know, I did raise a good kid.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew it was extreme last week. I mean, it definitely seemed extreme.
Are you ever going to tell your husband that you did that?
No.
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 Just a little secret weekend trip.
So I'm guessing you didn't then tell your son then either. You didn't like pop out and like, aha, good job.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Can you imagine?
So bad. All of them would have been mortified.
That would have been absolutely, I think, the worst case scenario.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Can you imagine being a junior in high school
and your mom just pop out of the bushes?
And your mom's like, good job, boys.
You did good.
Everybody passed the marijuana test and we're proud of you. Oh, my God, you would never leave.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have went well.
No, that would not be. Well, so do you feel relieved now? now? Because I know the big thing was like worrying that he was going to like make some decisions that were going to mess up his career. And obviously, we don't know his decision-making process every time, but we put him to a test here, and it seems like he was, in this instance, he made a really good choice. So does that kind of
100%.
Relieve? Yeah, okay.
Yes. Biggest predictor of future behavior is past behavior, and he passed the test.
Yo, there we go.
Well, good.
I feel good about
I'm happy you feel better about the situation.
I feel really, really good about this. And thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super proud.
I don't know if every parent should just trust their kid blindly on this, but hopefully maybe this gives some parents some relief and some of their anxieties too with their kid having some freedom. And I get it. It's got to be a weird step as you
it's
know,
a hard stage.
Kids some more trust. So.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you for calling us back with the update. I'm glad it really turned out great this week.
Yes, I was relieved that it happened the way it did and relieved to be able to give you guys good news.
Okay, so you're not happy about this apparently. The phones are blowing up about how angry they are with this whole tactic. Did this really piss you off today? Because I thought this was pretty, even last week I was like, go for this. Like this kind of seems like a genius parenting move. I didn't realize y'all were going to be so upset, but let's talk. Mary Ellen, you think this is crazy?
Oh, hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm a retired high school health education teacher.
Yeah.
Worked with teenagers for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the mom was scared and worried. I get that. I respect that. But, oh, my gosh, if her child ever really figures this out and her husband. I mean, the one thing I always told parents was it's a team. You, your kids, me, their coach. And there's a level of respect and accountability. So the problem is she really didn't let her kid prove to her he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
Now it's always like, but can didn't you trust
he, though?
Me?
But didn't he prove it, though? I mean, I mean that's basically what he did.
Yeah, but he would have. Okay, the point I'm making is she had to be the ultimate helicopter mom. She had to sit there and watch him not do it versus he himself made that call, made that decision. And, he can put that away inside and know, I did this. I mean, we're not going to have a front seat to everything that happens in our child's life.
Right,
but
right.
But I guess, how is trust? I mean, do you just have to give your kids trust? I mean, it's one thing to trust an adult. But
no,
like,
you have to trust that they're going to do. You have
do
you're
you,
giving them everything, and you have to trust them to make their decisions.
With
I think
kids, though?
Yeah.
Well, here's
what I'm going to tell you.
16?
Kids mess up. They mess up. I would always tell them, I need you to be safe, and that would be the core response. Just, I need you to be safe.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there. And if poop happens, and it does, as a parent, it's not that you failed. It's that here's your chance to try on this adventure. My kid messed up. Now we're really gonna learn how to parent. We're really gonna learn how to build and trust.
So that's like where it kicks in for you. Okay, I thought y'all be happy about it, but all right. Can we talk about the weird stuff that we used to shove into our bodies as kids? Because I don't understand why we did this. Did you ever as a kid just like shove things in your body unnecessarily?
No,
Charlotte and I are sitting here like, no. Why? Why did we do this? Why did we? Y'all, this is the weirdest story ever out of Scotland. There's a man that literally for 20 years thought he was losing his hearing, right? He goes to the doctor and they give him some antibiotics.
No.
He wakes up in the middle of the night. He's got this pressure in his ear. He starts to like shake his head and a Lego pops out. A Lego. This man literally shoved a Lego in his ear 20 years ago.
How do you have a Lego in your ear for 20 years?
It's
also,
like,
how did it fit in there?
I don't know.
How did it get in? Because your ear, it's not like there's like a straight shot right up in there.
Exactly.
Like, it had to kind of wiggle a little bit.
He, like if he put it in there and forgot or like.
What? What do you mean?
This is what he said.
This
is his quote. He said, I haven't played with Legos for years, not since I was a wee boy. By his estimate, the Lego piece was stuck in there for about 20 years. He doesn't know if.
Do you think maybe he fell asleep on
still,
it?
But still, how? Logistically, I don't know, but the man had a Lego in his ear, literally making him deaf for almost 20 years. It's crazy. But Charlotte and I were sitting here and we're like, why do kids just shove stuff? Like, y'all, when I was a kid, and I remember this so so, it was like so traumatizing now in the moment. I used to always suck on pennies.
Ugh.
So much so that I swallowed one time and my grandma had to give me the Heimlich maneuver because I was literally choking on a penny. Why would I put a penny in my mouth?
I don't know.
And like suck on it? Like why was that ever a thing?
Out of all the coins.
Like
too.
Yeah, like of all, right. Like why? What, that does, first off, doesn't taste good, right?
Like, what was appealing about the penny?
Nothing, right? There's nothing good about it. But like
shiny.
They're dirty. Pennies are dirty.
So dirty. Like, think about that now as an adult. Like, what my kid brain was like, I need to do this. And like, why didn't no one stop me? And like, then I choked on it. And it just,
you were eating pennies. You're still trying to be a piggy bank or something?
Yeah, probably. Maybe that's what it was. Like, as a kid. Charlotte, what did you, like, as a kid, like, what did you shove into you?
Mine was a bobby pin, like that you put in your hair. Yeah. When I was a kid, I guess I just, my mom says I just jammed it into my, I think it was my left ear.
Oh no.
My left ear, I can hear slightly less well out of that ear.
Oh no, because of that?
So I don't know. Oh, I don't know if it's from years of not wearing good enough
earplugs at concerts.
Yeah.
Or that. Like, huh?
But owie. Yeah, I'm horrified thinking about it. Like, what would possess me to do that?
I know. Just as kids, I don't know. It just seemed like a good idea back then. Maybe you've got a traumatic story of like maybe you put an object.
Or maybe if you can't hear, there might be a Lego in there.
There might be. True. There might be.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.